Blog Talk Radio.
And now on Blog Talk, it's time for Rendezvous with Maggie, featuring Maggie DeVera. Maggie is a well-respected therapist with a successful practice in the San Francisco Bay Area, and she is also the founder and president of Realizing Our Youth as Leaders Incorporated, a nonprofit agency that prepares the most disadvantaged and at-risk youth for life and leadership. Maggie is also a licensed marriage family therapist, psychotherapist, clinical master hypnotherapist, sex expert, clinical supervisor, trainer, speaker, and consultant to musicians, bands, and actors. Maggie brings you expertise and advice on topics that impact each and every one of us in our everyday lives. Rendezvous with Maggie offers vital information that helps you understand yourself and others while providing skills and tools to optimize the experience of life's journey. And now, here is Maggie DeVera.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Rendezvous with Maggie. With me is your host, Maggie DeVera. I am so happy to be back on air and joining with all of you who are tuning in tonight. I haven't been on for several weeks now, as I had indicated in my last show that I would be focusing on health stuff so I can come back stronger and better, and I am happy to say that I am successful at that objective. And so I'm back, and I'm very happy to come back with a wonderful episode tonight with Richard Bean, otherwise known as the legendary original singer and songwriter of Suavecito, a worldwide hit. And I'm going to start off, before we bring Richard Bean on, I'm going to start off celebrating his song Suavecito. This is his 40th year anniversary. And so sit back and enjoy. Richard has graciously provided us with some of his music, so we'll be able to enjoy some of his music this evening during his show. So sit back, relax, and here we go.
Thank you.
celebrating its 40th anniversary this year. And so Richard has kind of been all over the place performing in honor of the anniversary. And actually, we have an exciting special event that's coming up, a very special event that's coming up on November 8th, because it's not only to celebrate the 40th anniversary, which many venues have been doing and bringing Richard in for that, but it's also to celebrate Richard's birthday. I'm not going to say how old he is. That's going to be up to him if he wants to announce that. But I can say that he looks phenomenal for where he's at. And you know, I just really wanted to take this time and just say a few words about Richard, because I have come to know Richard actually first through Royal, where he has been a big part of helping us during our charity events and fundraisers. He actually was the first one that offered. I never dreamed that he would even think of doing it. I never asked him, and he had heard about it and asked one of his musicians, Tony Flores, if he would come in and if he would let me know, or ask me if we would like to have Richard Bean. So of course we were ecstatic. So Richard Bean has been very special to Royal and of course to me, and I can't say more about him. He is just a wonderful, talented, and from how I see it, very humble musician and man. I adore Richard Bean, and so we are honoring him with this event coming up on November 8th, and also which is why I wanted to do an episode dedicated specially to him and for him and with him. So I'm going to bring Richard Bean on, and let me see if, hold on one moment. Hi, you're on the air. Is this Richard?
Hello. Hi, Maggie. How are you?
Hi, honey. Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Thank you so much for the wonderful words. I mean,
oh yeah. Well, you know, if I was trying to cut it short, but I could ramble on and on about you.
Well, we know
but
that already.
I want this to be about you. So, as you know, you've heard me say why I wanted to bring you on, and I'm very excited about your event on November 8th at the beautiful Fort McKinley, where we had the Royal event, and you performed there as well. And you will be also doing a surprise, well, I guess it's not a surprise, but an appearance for their fundraiser this Friday. Is that right?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, at my rehearsal, I had proposed it to my band members that, you know, you were having an event for the earthquake, you know, relief, I guess, for the Philippines, and since, you know, I'm always involved with something with you all the time, so
well, you know, this actually is not my event. This is done by Fort McKinley, and they are just,
right.
You know, they approached me and they said, "Do you think Richard Bean would be interested?" Even though they knew you were going to do your own show the next week, so people got excited about it.
Too, okay? But you're involved in what you asked me about it. I, you know, I mean, it's all, you know, it all ties in together. So, and then so they were, they were pretty much gracious to do it. So yeah, so we'll go there and do a few tunes, you know, just because I know it's going to be a long night of different entertainment and events and speeches and stuff. So, yeah, most of the band members decided that they, you know, would be able to do it. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and perform for at least maybe a half an hour or so, you know.
And that's for
kind of
Band-Aid.
Event. Yeah.
Right, and it's a Band-Aid for the Philippines from the tragedy, the natural disasters, and that's happened recently where thousands have been affected and homeless and killed. And so it's huge. You know, you've got a huge Filipino following. Suavecito is an anthem for so many Filipinos. So
I've heard anyway.
I'm just going to, what's that?
No, I said, so I've heard, right?
Right. And so, you know, I put together some questions, and I know you do a lot of interviews, and people would ask you about your music, and people have, you know, who know about you and your history. I also wanted people to know, you know, the man behind the music. Right. And so you were gracious enough to allow me to ask you some questions about you, just you, and
right. Mm-hmm.
Your
sure.
thoughts and your personal stuff. And I always say to all of my guests, whoever, you know, whatever I ask, feel free to answer it up to wherever you're comfortable with. Right.
Right.
So no pressures. If you want to say, Maggie, that's going too far in, that's enough. Just tell me.
Right.
So this, although this is connected to music, I wanted to jump off with this first. But so what is it that got you started in music? Kind of what got you in the whole music world?
Actually, what got me actually started in music was my brother, Joe.
Your older brother, right?
My older brother, Joe. He's not that much older than me, but I was still going to grammar school, and he was entering into a junior high school. And when he was in junior high school, he started playing saxophone, okay? So he brought it home one day, and started playing around with it. When he wasn't looking, or if he put it down, I would try to put my mouth on it and try to blow through it too, so and a little came out of it. But I really liked the sound of the saxophone, and when we graduated from Pelton Junior High, because we were living on Hunter's Point at the time, because
and
of the big earthquake.
Oh, right.
In San Francisco, yeah, when they had the big earthquake, we were moved there because of temporary housing. But then I went when I entered Pelton Junior High School, I took up band music as well, and I picked up the saxophone as well. So that actually got me started, because I entered with, you know, being in the band and stuff, and it taught me how to, you know, read music and play an instrument. So I would say my brother had, you know, was very instrumental in helping me along in the music business, even though I was always a little bit, you know, in touch with music, because all my neighbors used to play music all the time, loud music all the time. So you could not help but, you know, be involved in it. And then me and my friends at the time, I was, you know, had a little doo-wop group too. So, you know, it was kind of like.
So wait,
cool.
You started off with sax. You started off with the saxophone.
Yeah, I did start off with saxophone, and then I learned to play percussion. I went to play timbales. And then from timbales, I picked up a guitar and learned to play guitar. And now I'm playing a little bit of piano. I can, you know, do a little bit of that. So, yeah, I'm just kind of moving along here.
So when did you know you wanted to sing as well?
Well, actually, like I said, I always had, like, with my little neighbors, my friends, which they were predominantly black, because Hunter's Point at the time was, you know, predominantly black. But I had, some close friends because we would hear the music that their parents were playing, and we would kind of sing along with them. So we kind of had like a little doo-wop group, and We were singing along with him, but it wasn't really professional. It was just something that, you know, we did, but I didn't really think about singing until it was later on when I got into a band that actually was the first, it was the Malibus, we were called the Malibus, and they had had a singer, and I was just playing saxophone at the time, and he was in two bands, and he was actually singing for both bands, but the band that he was actually with, it was a Filipino band, right? They were called the Tommy and the Continentals, and we were called Malibus. But so what happened is they wanted to battle the Malibus, okay? So, okay, so that's great, but the singer sings for both bands, you know? So he decided that he's going to sing with Tommy and the Continentals, so we don't have a singer. So they looked at me and said, hey, do you want to sing?
Interesting. So how old were you at that time?
I must have been about 16 years old, maybe.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
And so I learned the songs. I learned the lyrics and songs, and we went and we battled them at the Mission Y in San Francisco, which was the big thing back then. A lot of battle of the bands. Everybody battled at the Mission Y, right? And we battled the band. Had the battle of the bands, and we actually beat them. And he wanted to come back into the band, but we already have a singer now, so we don't need you anymore.
Oh, interesting. That's how you got started
so
with
that's
the
how
singing.
I got it, yeah, that's how I got into singing.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then I was also in a band called The Righteous Ones, which also, I was sharing vocals with Abel Cerati in that band. So, yeah, so that was around the time when I really got, more involved into singing, and I didn't think about it professionally, but I just knew, I guess I could carry a tune, so it was kind of good.
And then, so throughout high school, you stayed in kind of the music scene, and all your buddies were.
Well,
in, music
in high
as well?
School, I was actually in a band with Carlos Santana.
I used to see
Carlos Santana in the hallways all the time, and I found out that he had a band, and he knew that I was playing sax. Me and my friend Andy Vargas were playing sax in the band. We were actually played in Horse Man when I left Pelton. Uh-huh. I moved to the Mission District, and then I started going to Horse Man, and I entered the band there with my good buddy Andy Vargas. Well, we stuck together through high school, and Carlos knew he needed a couple of horn players, so he approached me, and we went to one of his rehearsals, and we learned some music, and we actually played a Mission High School Spanish dance with Carlos Santana, and it was great, but the band was short-lived, but, at least I could say that me and Carlos played together for a while,
You were in the same band.
Yeah. Actually, I have a picture. It's in the book Voices of Latin Rock, that's put out by Jim McCarthy and Ron Sanso and I guess Bernie Gonzalez. There's a picture in there of an old picture of me playing in that band with Carlos Santana. It's a real small picture, but you can tell it's Carlos and I'm playing sax. I think that's the only picture in existence.
What's the name of the band? What was the name again?
Well, the name of the band we were looking for a name, and I said, "Well, let's just call it the Dynamics." They go, "Okay, we'll call it the Dynamics."
And so that's when you were in high school, and
yeah, that
then,
was yeah. So that was still the, with yeah. So that was then. So that's when I. Well, that was jumping back. That was before I went into the band, the Malibus. So that was short. That was right after I left Carlos, and now we got into that band. I was in the band called Malibus. So that's how
I see. So it was so this. The Dynamics was first, and then the Malibus.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Oh, I see.
But that's because I wasn't singing in the Dynamics. It was just kind of like the. I think we were just playing instrumentals because Carlos, I don't know if you remember if we ever sang or not, but it was kind of nice. It was cool, it was great. So nice thing, nice memories.
And then, so then after that, you ended up, what was after Malibu's. Is that when you got into Malo, or?
Well, Malo, actually, Malibu's ended up being, was actually ended up being Malo, so.
Oh, is that elevated. How it happened?
Yeah, so the name changed from the Malibu's to Malo, you know. I got involved with, because the Malibu's, and eventually we merged with another band with Arcelio Garcia, and then we had two singers in Malo. And then we started incorporating the other band that I had with the Malibu's. Those guys kind of ended up quitting because they had jobs and stuff, and they couldn't really stay with the band. So I kind of merged. We merged together, and that's when we had kind of new players in the band. So,
But, and that's when you had told me the story about Suavecito, and that you had written that before, right? It was you wrote
a
poem.
Yeah, I wrote that when I was still in high school. As a matter of fact, yeah, I was in algebra class and wrote that in high school. And you know, nobody really knows how it went about, but you know, I flunked
it. Do you want to mention it?
Yeah, you know, that's okay because I ended up passing eventually, but you know, I was really bored. I didn't even now I don't even use algebra, so I mean, it's like I can add, you know, like you know if I have to. Now I got calculators, but I haven't used algebra since I left algebra class, you know.
But that song was actually I got a straight F on my first attempt at algebra one year. I had to go to summer school for that.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah, I was going to Poly High. I went to Poly High Technic, and actually I had to go to summer school to finish. That was a Polytechnic is over by Keysar Stadium in San Francisco.
Oh,
Yeah, so I ended up writing a song, you know, for this girl that I fell in love with. I was like, you know, back in high school, we had puppy love. You think it's forever, but, you know, nothing's forever sometimes, but it is, you know. But, and so she ended up breaking my heart, you know.
What's that?
She ended up breaking my heart, but I never told her I wrote this song for her, you know, which is...
Right. I remember you told me that, and I thought, wow, she would never... Yeah. She didn't know that the man who, or the guy whose heart she broke... wrote a legendary song about her.
No, and that's true. I mean, that's the whole truth of it. I mean, so yeah, I just, you know, I took it to rehearsal one day. We were trying to learn some original tunes and started jamming on a little riff and stuff. And I just started singing this, you know, this song with the melodies on top. And, went a little twist here, a little twist there. And that's how Suavecito became, you know.
Right.
So,
do that again? What's that?
I said that's how most songs sometimes, you know, evolve out of just little ideas and little jams and stuff like that.
Right. And how many songs do you have, Richard, that you have either put together or co-written or been a part of?
Well, I would say probably recorded. I would probably say I would have maybe over at least 30 songs recorded.
Wow.
But I have in my memory bank and in my little cassette tapes that I've always put ideas in, I must have at least 300 tapes.
Wow.
With ideas that I've had.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, all the time I do, you know. And,
do you ever feel like you want to go back to those songs that you have, you know, kind of filed away and do something with it, or you just get inspired?
Well, that's the thing, because sometimes you get new inspirations. But, you know, I always think about the songs that maybe ideas that I've had, songs that I've written. Eventually, I'll pull them out, you know, and when the time is right, you know. I'll probably end up doing 10 albums at one time, you know. They're always there. Yeah, I think about them. Some of them are really nice songs, but, you know, maybe you have to maybe update them a little bit, you know, maybe do a little, you know, a little change here and there. But, you know, I mean, I think they're good ideas. They're great ideas, you know.
But, you know, your songs, all of the songs that I hear, they're just classics. They're just, they can be timeless. Right, and I can listen to your songs over and over again, and you know, I'm one that can get tired of songs easily after I hear it over and over again.
Right.
Yours can, there's just such a, it, so many of your songs, it can either be so soothing and so smooth, and then there's the other ones that is just so high energy that I just, at least for, I can only speak about my experience, I just have not had the experience of ever getting tired of listening to any of your songs, even watching you on stage. It's, you're just a classic.
Well, I think, you know, Maggie, I think what has to do with that is that my songs, I think they don't all sound alike, you know. I think
right.
every song has a meaning.
Thank
every song
you.
Has a different. Everything is just, every song is kind of approached a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I've always felt like I've approached it, you know. I didn't want to keep writing songs that sounded the same all the time, you know. And like I said, I guess each song came with a meaning. It came with some kind of inspiration. So it kind of maybe took it to a different level, to a different way. Maybe some are real, real up-tempo and really high energy, you know. But it's what's said in those high energy, what it means, you know. But, I mean, you can listen to an album nowadays and maybe a lot of songs, you know, that a lot of the writers that, you know, they sing and they write, and a lot of the songs seem like, you know, they sound the same. And even though somebody else is singing it, it almost sounds like somebody else that sang it already. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's almost like you've already heard that song, but somebody already sang it, but some, you know, in another way. It just doesn't variate that much. So, but I think there was more variety in the music, you know, coming out of when we wrote the songs, when I wrote the songs, you know, back then, because everybody was experimenting different kind of musics and different kind of tempos, different kind of ideas, and all kind of inspirations, you know, from all the different kind of bands that came out, you know, in the 60s and the 70s. So I guess that's where the music comes from, and, you know, a lot of the...
When songs come to you, Richard, is there a certain pattern that, or does it just kind of hit you in different ways? Like, does the lyrics come to you first and then you put music behind it, or does the beat start coming or the music come and then you put lyrics behind it, or is it just kind of whatever?
Yeah, sometimes it's whatever.
Really?
I can be driving and I can, you know... just thinking about something will come in my head, and then I'll just like start humming something or just kind of thinking about it, and then I'll, you know, take out my, you know, my cell phone and put the little recorder on and kind of, so I don't lose the idea. I'll try to just like, you know, hum a few bars of it or something like that, or maybe if I'm come up with some lyrics or something or some kind of words or some kind of that kind of hits me right there, I'll do the same thing. It's not like I will finish a whole song or not even, you know, think about it, but I would put the idea down and think, you know what, that sounds pretty cool. I think I'll come back to it, you know, when I can really put more time into it and really try to finish it up. But, yeah, it goes either way. It's never
so
really a right
to
or wrong
in
way.
Both,
you know?
Ways.
Yeah.
Because I've talked
both.
To artists where they'll say, oh, no, with me, it's kind of like the beat will start coming. And then I start putting lyrics to it. And then some people say, no, I'll write, and then I can put the music behind it. So with you, it's both.
Yeah, and it's really funny because a lot of it that I do is I'm not a bass player, you know, but I play the bass. You know what I'm saying? It's like I think you're doing the bass line, you know, and that's what inspirates us. It gives me the inspiration to write the kind of music that I want to add to it, see? But I guess it's the bass. It's kind of like the bass and the beat together, really, and it's kind of true in that sense. But there is no right and wrong way, really. When somebody gets an inspiration, I mean, you could be at the beach and all of a sudden, like, oh man, it's a beautiful beach. Start writing about the sunset and the water and the beautiful sand and all that. So it's a lot of it has to be where you're at and what you're doing. A lot of it could be inspirational, like you're in love with a girl and, you know, you want to write all these love songs. You want to tell her how much you love her, but you can't tell her that. So you put it in music, you know. And maybe it's a sad song, you know, you've been hurt and stuff, so same thing, you start crying at the piano or something like that, you know, and you start writing sad songs, you know, so.
Right.
I think it's with musicians and people that write music, I think a lot of it is just, it's all inspired, it's all inspiration, you know.
Right. Well, so, you know, I'm going to kind of veer off of music for a little bit, and I want to just ask what are some of your other interests? I mean, the music scene, know you as the music, the musician and the singer and songwriter, but what are other, the things that you, that inspire you or that you are drawn to?
It's so many different inspirations. I mean, so many different things that I, you know, sometimes I just like, you know, going to the park or just, you know, taking a drive or just being at home, you know, going out. I just like to do regular things like what regular people do, you know. Same
mm-hmm.
thing.
Do you have any other specific interests or hobbies?
I like to work on cars. You know, at least I used to work on cars.
That's right. You told me that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when I went to high school, when I graduated from high school, I took a trade in the automotive business and learned body and fender work and painting. Because I always liked working on cars, and I thought it would be something nice to... Because, you know, you never know about music, you know, and you in life you always have to have something to fall back on. And sometimes, you know, people put their high hopes, and it's not wrong to do that, but you put your high hopes in something that, you know, you really want to do in life, and it's not wrong that you want to pursue that, but you got to have something to fall back on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, you know, when I graduated from high school, I was still doing music at the same time, but I was still, you know, I was still holding down the job, and I was doing body and fender work. You know, I had my journeyman's papers and stuff. So that's another thing I really enjoy doing. I like working on cars, you know, and doing the mechanics and stuff. I just sometimes like to get my hands greasy, you know.
But you're also artistic and like a visually artistic artist, right?
It's funny that you mentioned that because I almost forgot. I mean, me and my brother had a screen printing business.
Yeah.
And I was actually doing all the graphic arts for all the different companies that wanted to do, you know, jobs for their T-shirts or whatever, caps. And the way I got inducted in that was my brother had asked me. I was still doing music, but I was kind of taking a little break from music at the time. But my brother had asked me. He said, "You know, I'm got this screen printing business, and I want you to, you know, be a part of it. It's called J&J Enterprises." So he says, "I'm looking for an artist." And I said, "Well, I mean, in high school, I used to draw, you know, a lot, but I didn't ever think I was, you know, that great, you know, but." He said, "Well, just come, you know, one day and just check it out and see if you can do something." So he gave me this job, you know, to do. And this guy had this artwork, and he wanted me to copy it exactly, right? Uh-huh. So I'm working on it. Well, he goes, "You know, that artwork shouldn't take you that long, you know." It took me like all day to do it. It was just a small little piece of artwork, but it came out really good. He goes, "You know, if I'm going to pay you, I can't pay you for doing all that for 8 hours to do one piece of artwork."
Well, because I found out that you were an artist also in that way is because he told me, your brother Joe had told me that you were the artist for, mm-hmm. you know, if we ever wanted stuff. Because we've ordered stuff from, Royal has ordered stuff, and one of the bands I used to manage, and Vivo used to, we had ordered stuff from Joe, and he that's how I found out that you're an artist, because he said you did the art. And I said, "Wow."
Yeah, well, it was funny because in the beginning, you know, we had to do everything, you know, that was like, you know, over 3 years ago, you know, I mean, that was before really computers came out with all the graphics and everything, you know.
Right.
And thank God that eventually, you know, Apple came up and, you know, and Microsoft came out, and you know they had Adobe Illustrator, and so that helped a lot because then I got, you know, I went to trade school for like about 9 months to learn computer graphics, so that even enhanced.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that enhanced even more, you know, my you know, to be able to do whatever somebody wanted an idea, I could come up with it or draw it out or scan it or whatever, and so it was a lot easier to do that than to try to freehand or try to trace something, you know, on paper or come up with it, you know, freehand. So that was, thank God for computers, you know.
I know. And it won't take you, it may not have to take you the whole day to do
no,
it.
No, it won't take me a whole day. That artwork now would have probably taken me about half an hour to do, you know. But
so, you know, I wanted to ask you, who in your life has inspired you? Or either inspired you when you were young or just, you know, they still inspire you, or both in life and in music. I mean, you can separate it. Someone who, the people who have inspired you musically and people who have just, you know, overall.
Well, in life, I would say my mom and my dad, you know. I say my family, you know. They've always been behind me, 100%, you know, in everything I've done. They've always, you know, praised me and, you know, always, you know, were there for me whenever, you know.
So you had their support and validation.
Oh, absolutely, yes. As a matter of fact, my mom almost went in debt buying me my first saxophone, you know.
Oh, really?
Germany play. But, you know, she wanted me to, she knew I wanted to play it and stuff, and she bought it for my birthday, you know. And, I mean, it was, I think at that time it was like, I think it was like cost like $1,600, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that was expensive, you know.
Yeah, $1,600. I don't.
Yeah, it was a lot, you know.
That's
back then.
Pretty high.
Yeah. So, I'm sure she made payments on it and stuff, but, you know, still, but at the same token, it was like something she knew I wanted to do. So that was, you know, one of the greatest things for her to do that, you know. My dad, you know, they were always behind me, you know. My family's always been wonderful, you know. They've always supported me, gave me, you know, praises and stuff like that, you know. When you know, I really didn't ask for anything, but they would just tell me how wonderful things were coming, I was doing. And I think in music, because I have to separate the two, because in music, I would say just being involved in a band was actually was an inspiration to be around musicians all the time. That, you know, that were always able to offer something that they had to bring, you know, to the table, you know what I'm saying? So you learn a little bit from everybody, you know, and everybody's an inspiration, you know, in some way or another when you're involved with them, because you become, you know, like a family, you become like a brotherhood. So
they help keep you going.
Yeah, exactly, because it went from one thing to another, went to another one band, another band, another band, whatever. And then I started my own bands, and then, you know, then that was probably a greater challenge, because to be a leader, it takes a certain kind of a person to be a leader, you know. Because in this days, you know, it's hard to find a band that will actually stay together. And I have to say that for my band, that I have probably the greatest musicians that I've had in a long time, probably the best musicians I've had, period, up to date. And because not only do they play great, but they also give me their full support, their loyalty, you know.
And it's very hard to find that
nowadays, you know, because you'll find guys that say, oh, man, I don't want to be rehearsal, man. You know, call me when I got a gig or call me when you're rehearsal. But I call a rehearsal for this band and everybody's there no matter what, you know. And just like, you know, we're doing this benefit for you. I mean, they just stepped to the plate, you know. And I didn't ask them, you know, if you guys want to do it, no pressure, you know, whatever. So, you know, no, we'll do it.
And they just did almost every single one of them, maybe just one or two were missing because they had other stuff going on, but they
did the Royal Gala in July. Yeah, I think a couple of my horns players may not be able to do it, but you know, still, it doesn't.
Yeah,
matter.
But still,
we're
because
there
when
to
I
do
told
whatever we can with or without him, you know, so it's
right.
It's,
when I told
it's
before,
be fun.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's I told
be great.
Before McKinley, like, you know, I can ask Richard, but I don't know if his band can come because they're coming from all over, and you know, this is a short set, and I can't guarantee that, you know, any of them can make it. So it was really. It was pretty big that when you said, oh, yeah, some of them are going to be making it. They're coming.
Yeah, because I thought, you know, because at first you told me, well, you know, I have, well, you know, yeah, a few years ago, you know, I you know, people, they couldn't afford a whole band or whatever, you know, so they would ask me, hey, do you think you could just do like a, you know, a guest spot, but maybe you got like some music that you could sing to, not like karaoke, because, you know, karaoke is like they got, they're singing, but this is the music, and you're singing on top of your own music. But
right.
And I have actually, you know, I've done that before at some shows, but I did, you know, I just don't feel good right about doing that anymore. You see what I'm saying? Because I have this band, mm-hmm. this great band, and I feel no matter how many guys show up, we're going to sound good no matter what. So, So when I asked, and they all said great, I said, ooh, that's even better, you know.
Yeah, we didn't know what to expect. Well,
yeah,
maybe you could just come with a CD with the music
in the
background.
I know, you want me to come with a CD, and I go, oh, man, I don't want to do karaoke. Or,
I know.
Or I don't want to do Milli Vanilli, you know, or, you know. Or
listening, I know.
You know, so this is going to be good, so I'm glad, you know, we're doing it this way, so.
Yeah, that's really, and it's a good intro for, you know, you'll be coming the following week for your own big show.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
yeah,
November 8th. And so, you know, I don't know if this is going to kind of overlap with the question I just asked you. And if it is, that's fine. Or if you have a different answer, that's fine too. Who are your life's mentors? Like, who have been your role models or mentors in life?
There again, I would say it's probably my family, my brother, you know. He's helped me a lot, you know. He's been behind me, yeah. My career, you know, and I've done for him, you know, and he's done for me. We've always been, you know, together really tight, you know. We've always had a great, you know, brothers, you know, relationship. And not that we never had, you know, spats. I mean, God, families do that all the time.
That's typical.
But for the most part, you know, we love each other. Like, you know, I would say my family, my mom, my dad, you know, they've been my mentors. They've kept everything together, you know.
Wow.
And then I would say my wife, you know, who passed away, you know, we were together for 34 years, you know. I would say she helped me a lot too in my career too. Yeah. So I would say, you know,
years.
the people that have been close to me have always been by me, have always been, you know, a mentor to me in some way or another, you know, so. Mm.
Mm.
Like family, you know.
And what did you want to be when you were young, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a bus driver.
That's so adorable.
I did. I used to think that was the coolest job when I was young. I used to ride the bus all the time. And I used to check out the bus driver, all the moves he used to make, you know, opening the doors and how he shifted the shift and how he stepped on the brakes and how he let the people in. I guess it was just a thing that he enjoyed meeting people as they come in and they used to drop their money in the coin thing, you know, and you know, just... It's funny, but yeah, I mean,
That's so cute. I've asked this question probably to thousands of people, even my clients and others I consult with. This is the most honest, adorable answer I've ever heard. and so to tag on that, what childhood dreams or goals or desires did you accomplish or achieve?
I would say the accomplishments that I've had, I guess, you know, education was a big thing, you know. When I, you know, I was young, we moved from Texas when I was like about 6 years old, I think, and
Oh, so were you born in Texas?
I was born in El Paso, Texas.
All I knew in
Texas was Spanish, you know. So
oh, really?
When we came, yeah, so we moved to L.A. for a little bit, and then I can remember being in L.A., you know, but I don't know where I really started picking up English, but then we moved to San Francisco, and I was about, I guess I had to have been about maybe seven years old, maybe. I think I just remember being in kindergarten. I was, like, older than everybody else, you know. And,
what is your cultural background? Oh, go ahead. Finish first. I didn't want to
interrupt. Actually, what happened is, you know, because I actually got skipped a whole grade. I went from the second to the third grade. I mean, I skipped a whole year because I was a little bit older than everybody else, and then I guess I was smarter. You know, I was kind of excelling ahead of them. So when I was in grammar school, Bessie Carmichael in Hunters Point, they actually skipped me a whole grade, you know, just so I could catch up, I guess, you know, because I guess when I got put in school a little bit later in life.
So did you miss a whole grade? You missed a whole grade?
Yeah, I did.
Second grade?
No, I went from second to, I think, fourth grade.
Oh, you missed the third grade.
You skipped over third.
I see.
It's a whole year.
You can blame that for why you couldn't get into algebra.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just curious because you said that you only spoke Spanish. What is your cultural background
ethnic background? How can you be Hispanic with the name Bean? Well, I said actually is Hispanic. It's Frijol, right?
No, really?
Bean, right? Frijol, yeah. But no,
oh,
that's
Frijol,
not it.
But... yeah, beans.
Yeah.
I thought it was
my background... My background is actually I'm Portuguese, Scottish, French, Yaqui Indian, Mexican, and I think what else? I might skip something. I don't know. I think that's it. Five's enough. Okay.
Or it doesn't matter after five.
Yeah, because the name Bean came actually it was from my great-great-great-grandfather, Judge Roy Bean, who's in the history books. He was known as the Hanging Judge. I don't know, he's in the history books.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so if you look him up in the history, Judge Roy Bean, that's my great-great-grandfather, yeah.
Judge Roy Bean, was he from Texas also?
No, actually, he was from the hills of Kentucky. And he was Scottish, so that's where I got my Scottish from. Yeah, from him. And he from Kentucky, he ended up going to Texas, ended up being in Valentine, Texas, and he opened up, it's called the Law West of the Pecos, where he opened up his own, he actually became his own judge of his own town, because they had no judge. So he became the judge.
And then he hung whoever he wanted.
So I don't know if they say he didn't hang anybody, but he was called known as a hanging judge. He was actually a Texas Ranger before that, so maybe that had something to do with it, you know. But he was actually instrumental in having held the first heavyweight fight known in the United States. And how he got away with it was he couldn't get a permit to do it in Mexico. He couldn't get a permit to do it in the United States. So he ended up doing it in the middle of the Rio Grande.
Oh, my goodness. That is so interesting. Do people even know this about you, Richard? Is this going to be a new thing that people are going to learn?
You know, I guess they're running a lot right now.
Yeah. My shows are known for that.
Well, there's been a couple of movies, you know, written, you know, about him. One of them was Paul Newman. It was called The Life and Times of Judge Roy Bean. Paul Newman.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Judge Roy. Yes. Look it up.
Interesting.
Life and Times of Judge Roy Bean. Paul Newman was.
Oh, now I'm gonna look
Judge
that up. Maybe it's on Netflix.
And then there was another one. I think Wallace Beery, which is an older. Back when, like maybe in the, I think it was the early 50s, the Wallace Beery did another movie called, it was called The Westerner, and it was about Judge Roy Bean.
And he is, did you say your great-grandfather? Or great-great-grandfather.
Yeah, great-grandfather.
Great-great, I see. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to go to the next question of... Can you name? I know, that's why I'm trying to keep my further questions shorter. So, what would you say are your top three values?
My top three values, I would say, was like I said, first was getting an education, you know, because that was, you know, like I said, you know, coming from Texas and learning English and going through high school, like, getting, you know, my high school diploma, learning a trade, you know. Mm-hmm. So always fall back on, and then, you know, continuing, you know, through another experience of, you know, learning computers, you know, computer graphics and stuff. That would be like second, learning trade and stuff would be the second thing. Third thing would probably be the thing the most accomplished would always be, and that's, you know, would be about Suavecito, you know. Because that's probably something that's, I guess a lot of bands always hope for that big hit, hope for that big break. And, you know, we were able, instrumental, to get that break at the right time.
Yeah.
And if it hadn't been for that, this song would probably never have been recorded, never would have been aired. You know, nobody would know about Suavecito.
And it's not just a hit. You know, for a certain generation or in a certain area, it's worldwide and it's across generations.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's what's so ironic about this song, because being what it is for so many years, it's still being played. It's, you know, it's always been a classic. It's been known as the Mexican national anthem, you know. I can tell you a story about that, you know. When I was in L.A., you know, I was, at the time I was playing Jorge Santana, you know, we were on tour, and we were singing Suavecito, and these big, big Mexican guys, they got behind us, and we were playing, and they had this big Mexican flag, it was so huge, it was almost like as big as the stage. And they were standing in back of us while I was singing the song. And they were trying to get them off, but I could hear them say, "No, not until the song's over. Not until the song's over." And I was like, "Oh, my God, what is this?" You know, like, kind of glancing. I swear to God, I mean, it almost brought tears to my eyes. Because it was overwhelming. I mean, it was like thousands and thousands of people. You know, it was at Lincoln Park, and it was like, I would say at least 20 to 30,000 people out there. And they were all like, you know, holding their hands up and, you know, like in the fist, stuff like, you know, this. I never knew that what people would say about being the Mexican national anthem, but when that happened, and, you know, I mean, I
validated it.
That's like, I guess there has to be something to that saying, you know. But but it's true. Over the years, I mean, for so many years, I get royalties from just about every country you can think of.
Wow.
You can think of that country. I'm getting something from that country. And it may not be a lot because it's been out for so long, but it's something, and it just means that that song is still being aired and played in that country.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah. Well.
And
maybe.
And it's overwhelming. You know, it's like, yeah, it's like, wow. If I could only go
it's
to
humbling,
each
right?
of those countries, you know. I mean, if I could, that would be great, you know. But.
And then maybe more of the corrupt countries aren't reporting it. So you're not getting the royalties because they're not being honest.
Yeah, that's true.
I say that because I know of, you know, certain countries that are extremely corrupt.
Well, yeah, that. And then, look at all the, you know, look at all the venue, all the revenue we lose from just not myself, but you know, from other artists as well when things are being sold at the flea market. I mean, oh my God.
Right.
I can't expect to tell you how many people. Hey, you know, I seen your song on this album, and I go, oh, what album was that? And he named it. Goes, I never heard of it. You know.
Yeah, because that's illegal, though, right?
It is illegal. I mean, who's going to go to every flea market and find out where these guys got the licensing to do this and where they got the rights to do it? I mean,
you'll spend more time and money.
Well, I bought it from some guy that was passing by here. Yeah, here you can have it. You know, who are you going to tell? You know, so yeah, I mean, a lot of so it's just not myself, but a lot of artists, you know, even the main top artists that are out today, you know, mm-hmm. everybody's, mm-hmm. They're losing out on this, everything that's going on in the flea market, and there's no way of stopping that, you know, but, but hopefully online is a little bit different. I mean, yeah, you there's some bands that are doing my songs, you know, they're doing my songs, but I'm not like, wait a minute, how come I haven't seen any royalties from your album, you know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just something that, you know, they either want to get away with it, or maybe they don't think about, hey, you know, I got to get licensing for this, you know, the artist needs to get some royalties for this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, a lot of, you know, paid a lot of dues just to do that, you know, and we're still paying dues, so. But maybe they don't see it. They just see it as putting it out there, making a few bucks for themselves, and maybe we'll never find out about it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they won't be renowned because of it.
Exactly. So,
that's already been given to you.
Those are my three accomplishments in life. And like you said, what are the three? I would say the education, learning a trade, you know, and then being able to support my family, have a job, you know, while I'm still doing music, and then eventually, you know, being able to record Suavecito, which, you know, is being heard all over the world. So what more accomplishment can you
right, get
that?
Right, you know? It's huge. And you have been referred to. I learned, you know, I say legendary because that's the word I hear that other people use about you all the time. So it's interesting. I always wonder how you feel because you just come off to me ever since, from the beginning, as just a very humble, down-to-earth guy. And so I always wonder how, you know, are you used to it, or have you become detached from it, or is it still, does it affect you when you hear people refer to you as, you know, the legendary Richard Bean?
Well, you know, I guess I appreciate, you know, all the wonderful, you know, words. I appreciate all the praises and things people say to me and stuff. But, you know, it's just something that I did in my life, you know, that is going to probably be, you know, continuing. And, you know, I don't have a big ego about it, you know what I'm saying? I just say thank you much, you know. I'm glad. I hope it brought you some kind of great memories, you know, hearing it and when you were a part of it or when you first heard it, you know. So it doesn't wear off on me, but yeah, it's good to know that it has, you know, maybe meant something to somebody when they heard it or when they first.
Right. It made an impact.
Yeah, it's made an impact on me in some way, you know, because they say, hey, you know, that's my baby. I've met my first girlfriend back then, or, you know,
I've heard many people say, I was born. I was conceived to that song.
Yeah, I heard that a lot, too. I don't know if I could say this, but yeah, I was in the back seat of my 57.
I've heard that so many times.
I was in my lowrider, man.
Because of that song.
But, you know, okay, just don't bring me no, you know, maternity suits here, you know. They ain't my babies, you know.
So, you know, this is going to go to the next quick question, and I don't know if this will be hard for you, but can you kind of describe the kind of person you are? And if that's hard, maybe repeating what people have told you. Like, how would you describe yourself?
I would say maybe quiet. Very humble. I would say very artistic. I would say romantic. I would say very, you know, quiet, down to earth kind of person, you know. I'm not you know, obnoxious or anything like that.
Definitely.
Maybe talented. I mean, because people have told me, you know, certain things that, you know, that comes back to me. Not that I want to, you know, rub my own self, you know, pack myself in the back, but you know, you
okay, no, that sounded
things,
funny.
You know, so.
That sounded funny. Not that I wanted to rub my own self.
Although a nice rub now would be good, right now, massage, you know, I might feel good, you know. I don't feel like everybody else.
Yeah, no,
you
what
know,
you described.
No, the thing is I don't have a big ego. You know what I'm
exactly,
saying?
Exactly.
And that's the thing, you know, I can be the same person every time, all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like this, you know, come up to me and ask me for an autograph. I'm not going to say, hey, you know what, come to one of my gigs. Or, you know what, not right now, okay. Or can't you see I'm busy? Or, hey, you know what, I'll do it right now, you know. It's not a big thing, you know. I take it, you know, as a praise, you know. People greet me all the time when I'm, you know, they notice me. And when I'm, the other day, you know, somebody, I was at Costco and somebody, hey, Richard, how you doing? I said, oh, how you doing, man? How's everything going? And I remember meeting him, but I don't know his name. I don't know his name, but I greet him like I've known him forever. You know what I'm saying? And it was that kind of feeling that I have. Hey, you know, it's good. You know, I told him about the show and everything. Oh yeah, I'll be there and stuff. I said, well, you know, thank you for the love, man. Thank you for everything. And you know, we went on our own way.
You are loved, Richard. You are loved. I mean, I remember I was talking. I was talking to one of your musicians, Manny
mm-hmm.
Angel, and I was talking about you, and he kind of beats his chest, like on his heart, and he says, Richard is good people. He is good people. And the way he said it, it was so heartfelt, and it's just so nice to hear, because, you know, especially you're a leader of the band, and sometimes leaders you know, can get frustrated or have issues with musicians. And I just, the way he said it, it was just, again, a validation of kind of how I know you to be, and even how you just were able to describe yourself, right? You said that you are romantic, and if I were just to ask you a quick question of, what lesson or lessons have you learned about love?
Oh, boy. I learned about love. Don't really say you love somebody unless you really love somebody. You know. When you say that word to somebody, you know, some people say, oh, I don't want to say that word to that person, you know. I said, why? Don't you care about that? Yeah, but man, if I say I love her, man, it's like it's taking it to another level. You know? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Oh,
right.
I like you. I like you. I want to date you. But do I love you? And if I love you, that means I want to maybe think about something more serious, you know? If you truly love somebody and you take it a step further where you want to be together forever and you, you know, get in marriage and matrimony. So.
Right.
And the lesson in love is never say you love somebody unless you really mean it, you know.
So it's like hold it as sacred and treat it like that, and don't just
exactly
throw the word around.
Exactly. Somebody goes, oh, I love you, I love you, and all they want to do is just, have a good time with you. And then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, well, I really like you.
And there's a difference between, you know, kind of love for mankind or love for a person, but then the romantic love is the one that is really.
Right. But when it comes to being romantic, if that's what I'm saying, you can love a lot of things in life. You can, you know, I mean, I love my dogs, but it's a different kind of love, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
And I love what I do, you know, I love certain things, what I do, but when you truly want to love somebody that you know you can relate to and you can have honesty with them, or you can talk with them, you can, not that you have to have a perfect relationship, but you know, because relationships have to deal with a lot of give and take. There has to be a lot of communication.
Yeah.
Just communication is not going to go nowhere. I'll tell you that right now. And there's a lot of times where maybe somebody say, oh, you know what, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it, you know. But you ought to hear it, because it ain't going to get no better if you don't hear it. You see
what I'm saying? And then the dysfunction just keeps building and building, and you grow apart.
I'm not going to say nothing to you because you don't want to hear it. Okay, well, then don't hear it. Don't talk. Don't say nothing. So what happens? You go to bed at night. You don't say nothing. Wake up the next morning. Everybody's mad. Boom, boom, boom. And it escalates from that, you know, so.
Yeah, right. So talking about love, and you mentioned your band, you were talking about,
you ever come to one of my rehearsals, it's like coming to dinner at my house.
Oh.
I mean, because when we come to rehearsal, I treat those guys like they're coming to my dinner, because we bring them food, we bring them drinks. We know they're going to be there, you know, for a few hours or whatever time I keep them there. And it's just like it's a great camaraderie, you know, just.
Yeah, camaraderie,
We all get together, and we're there for the love of the music. We're there for the, you know, and it's just like having a picnic, you know, because we do the rehearsal, we take a break. Have a nice, you know, spread of food and stuff, whatever we bring. It's always something, you know, different. Annie always cooks something really great for the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always asking me, oh, what's for dinner tonight? And it could be anything. You know, she did just the last rehearsal. We had spaghetti and meatballs with garlic bread. And, you know, she makes this lattes like better than Starbucks. I mean, these guys are just like, they're treated like kings when they come. I'm not the king.
Yeah, and
the king.
Annie is wonderful.
She really is wonderful. I mean, I can't say enough about her, you know. She's helped me quite a bit in everything that I've done, you know. She's always been here tonight, so.
Yeah, she was saying yesterday, we've got to get food because we have rehearsal tonight. And I said, but what is it that you love about your band? What is it that you can say that you're so proud about your band? You mentioned a few things earlier, but is there something else that kind of collectively that you didn't mention?
I think every
if you did, that's
that
fine.
Yeah, I think every musician that I have in the band, it's not like you have to have the best players in your band all the time, because sometimes that never ever works. Because if you look at the best players that are out there, they're always doing something. They're not just doing one thing. They're doing a lot of things. So you cannot, you know, hold a good real player down. Like, you know, somebody's got a big ego. Let's just say that. But I could say one thing for my band members. Every one of them is an excellent player. And not only that, but in each and every position that I have, everybody is at their top game band.
Mm-hmm, right.
And to me, they are the best players, you know.
Oh, yeah. They really are one of the hottest and the best Latin rock bands out there. The energy is so captivating. You know, I love dancing, but so many times when I watch your band, I just kind of get fixed, like transfixed.
Yeah.
When I'm watching, I mean, it's just, and I love watching almost all of your band members because they're so into it.
Yeah,
right?
Everybody's doing something different. Yeah, that's true. Everybody's into their own little thing, but they all have their own. They all have their own. What do you call it? Personalities, you know. They all bring something to the, you know, to the rehearsal, and that's, you know, high energy. I mean, they bring their talent, and we have great rehearsals. I mean, we do. I mean, I can't say one rehearsal we ever had any, you know, blow-ups or anything like that. That doesn't happen in my rehearsals, you know. And my rehearsals are drug-free, alcohol-free. You know, nobody comes that way to my rehearsals ever. You know, that's one thing I made a rule from the very beginning, my band, you know. Never come to my rehearsal when you're drunk or drinking or anything like that. Don't bring no alcohol in my place. Don't bring no drugs in my place. You know, this is where we come to learn. This is where we come as a band. This is where we come as a brotherhood. And we don't need no bad habits coming around, you know.
Yeah, and so you can really put that out there and say you cannot.
If you need to have that, and you know, you can't stay away from alcohol for, you know, I don't care what you do. If you have a beer or whatever, you maybe do it before or after, but don't even let me know about it, because it's like when you come to a rehearsal, it's no different than going to a job, because everybody's putting in their individual time to do this. So don't waste everybody's time by coming where you're incapacitated. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you have
right.
You come to
right.
a rehearsal and you come with a straight mind, with a mentality that you're here to do the best you can to make the music sound the best that you can. And that's what it's all about, you know. It's like putting the Super Bowl team together, you know. You come to
so as down to earth and mm-hmm. as humble and as quiet as you are, do you feel that, you know, another side needs to kick in when you come on as the leader of your band, or do they just follow suit like you?
I don't have to do that, because they automatically, you know what I expect pretty much. And I'm not a hard leader at that, you know.
Uh-huh.
I just call out the songs and we play the songs, you know. If there's a little mishap or whatever, I say, hey, let's just do that part over again, you know. Let's really tighten it up. But I don't get on somebody, hey, you made a mistake there. I don't ever want to hear it again. Or if you do, you know, I don't do that. I don't belittle my players in that way, because most of the time they don't make mistakes, you know, in that way. You know, everybody makes mistakes. Yeah. Nobody's perfect. But no, I'm not that kind of hard leader where they don't want to come to rehearsal because I'm going to say something mean to them, or I'm going to be mean. I'm going to put on a different side. Like I'm going to be some kind of tyrant, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
no,
right.
We can go there to create music, go there to make music, go there to work on a show, and that's what we do. We have fun.
Yeah, and the egos.
You
don't have a problem with egos in your band.
No, not even that. We walk out of rehearsal, everybody says, wow, that was a great rehearsal we had, guys. And we all pat each other, we hug each other when we leave, and that's just it, you know. I mean, nobody leaves with their tails untucked under. We all, you know, we're all brotherhood. We're all brothers, you know, and we treat each other like brothers, you know. And that's what I say.
Wow.
Yeah.
So why the name Sapo, Richard? Why and you to Sapo, and why Sapo?
Well, you know, Sapo was back in the days when everybody was naming bands of just, you know, different things, you know. And Sapo actually had a double meaning, because, first of all, the music was jumping, you know.
Oh, I get it, because Sapo
Sapo in South America means like something that you've done, like a gold or something like that, or something you've done
really
good. It was Sapo, that's Sapo, you know. So it's like it's kind of like also a slang for that, but so it's kind of had a double meaning to it. So we said, well, let's just go with Sapo, man. Sounds kind of cool, jumping music. That's what we
said. Well, because also Sapo, for those who don't speak Spanish, it means frog, right?
The big frog in the pond, yeah, the big bullfrog.
The big frog in the pond.
Right. The big jumping frog in the pond.
And, you know, we're going to, we got through a lot of questions, and I loved this interview, Richard. I really did. Thank you for being so candid and just so open with your answers. But I have a couple more questions, and then you have also provided some of your music that people can hear on the show, and we've got Ritmo del Corazón, Love the Way, Can't Make It, and Sapos Montuno, right? And so is there anything that you'd like to say? Now, I'll give you the choice of saving it towards the end, like I mentioned to you before, or we can you can talk about one, and then we can play it, and then come back. How do you want to do it?
Well, you can. I would maybe like to play maybe something a little bit different than Suavecito. Something I had the pleasure of writing when I was with Jorge Santana.
Uh-huh.
It was called a song called "Love the Way," which is a real beautiful tune. I think a lot of people it's kind of like a Suavecito kind of song, but it's a different type of song because it means a lot of difference. When I wrote it for my wife who passed away, and mm-hmm. And it was one night when I had an inspiration. I was living on the avenues in San Francisco, and I went downstairs and picked up the guitar and started playing these little chords and stuff, and I started singing this song. And it's just like you said, what comes first, what comes second. This one was just kind of like I just played the chords on the guitar, started singing these words, and finally I finished it up, and you know, and this is what the song came out to be, "Love the Way." And I took it to George when I was when I got back together with Jorge after I left Sapo. Well, I didn't leave Sapo, but that was my band, but I kind of like took
Sapo
a break.
You left Sapo?
Yeah.
Well, I never knew
well,
you
I didn't
left Sapo.
No, I didn't leave Sapo. I kind of just let the kind of group kind of just break up for a little bit, you know, because I wanted time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted time for myself. I wanted time for, like, you know, to really find out what I really wanted to do. And then I got hooked up with Jorge, and then I started, you know, he asked me if I wanted to be in his band and to sing and stuff, so... Then this song is one of the songs that I introduced to the band, and we ended up recording it. It's called "Love the Way."
Okay, so let's take, you know, let you and I take a break. There is someone on cue that is alerting me that would like to say something to you, and we'll come back to. We'll play "Love the Way" now, and then come back, and then ask you to send out a couple of messages out to your fans and family and friends and your band, whatever you want to say and hear from this caller, a brief call, I'd say,
okay.
After this song, and then we'll spend the rest of the show. Listening to your songs, and we'll end the episode there. Okay, so here we go. We're going to be playing "Love the Way," and we'll be back after this song. Enjoy. that is Love the Way. And Richard, when did you, what year did you write that song?
God, I wrote that song back in 1979, 1980, yeah.
Wow. And you said that's what you wrote for your wife, yeah?
Yeah, that, Yeah.
Yeah.
So every time I sing it now, I still, you know, brings back a lot of memories, you know, still, so.
Yeah, right.
I mean, when I started singing after she passed, I, you know, would sing it and I would almost, like, choke up.
Yeah.
But,
well, beautiful.
Somebody that many years, you know, and that's why I say you never, she used to tell me, you know, you never guaranteed in life, you know.
Right.
There's no guarantee for tomorrow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know, you know, when, you know, it's your time, so.
Yeah, and unfortunately, many of us kind of take our life or time for granted until something's lost.
Yeah, that's why, you know, you have to, you know, be good to yourself, you know, when you're young, you know, take care of your body, take care of your health, you know, because it could catch up to you later on in life, you know, you think, well, you're not going to live forever, and it's, doesn't always work that way, you know, you have to treat your body and your health, you know, like, you know, take care of yourself, you know.
Definitely.
Because, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, you've found the fountain of youth because people will not believe that you are at an approximate age that seems to make sense if they were to do some numbers based on when your hit was a long time ago and the way you look now.
You know what? Do it in algebra. That way they can't figure it out.
So, you know what? I promised this caller that I would take her call because I know she's been waiting on the phone for almost an hour and a half now wanting to say something.
Okay.
So you know her, you've met her. She's actually, this is my mother who's calling from San Diego. She wasn't feeling well, but she said, I'm not going to miss his show.
Oh, God, I love your mom.
So, I know. Hold on one second. I'm bringing her on. Hello, hi. Mom, are you on the line?
Yes. I am patiently waiting.
Oh, my God, you have a lot of patience. I think I would have hung up a long time ago.
I want more time to keep on listening to you.
Oh, you're so sweet. I mean, God, I mean, you're so, you are a lot of patience. Yeah, that's wonderful. Patience is actually a virtue, you know that, because we wait for everything nowadays. You wait for everything you do.
I know, but Richard, you're right, but let me just cut you off that she's not that patient.
Okay,
she's
good.
Patient on your show, but she's not that patient.
But she'll deal with you later, not me.
Only for Richard's show I can be patient.
Is there something you'd like to say? I know that you wanted to greet him, but is there something you wanted to say before we?
You know, I wish I could prolong this program, but Richard, I really do love you so much, and perhaps you won't believe me, but all the things I am telling you is really coming from my heart. All I can say is I feel so elated and honored for associating with my son and myself, considering how famous and really what a real famous person you were. And I never thought, like, you would even, you know, give us any recognition. For me, Richard, you are just so spectacularly talented, creative, wise, loving and very artistic. You are such an intelligent human being. Your voice.
How come
is
you never
so
talk
much...
like this to me, Mom?
Oh, no. I can only talk like this to my Richard.
Jeez Louise. Mom, when you said your son, you're talking about my, that's my baby brother. Alex. Alex that loved dancing with Richard and Annie.
Oh, God, we
loved watching them dance. And he's how old is he? About 27, 26, and he has Down syndrome.
28.
What's that, Mom?
28.
Yeah, he has Down syndrome, and he did not want to leave their side.
He had more energy.
I never saw Richard dance until that
night. He had
more
energy than I did. I mean,
that was the cutest thing. But Mom, that was so sweet. Thank you so much for calling in.
Mom. I mean, you almost made me cry. Okay, so you got to be careful what you say to me. Okay,
Richard. You know, I'm going to tell you this coming from her daughter. She's not that complimentary. She's really not. I'm listening to her, and I said, "Wow, you really did affect her because she's very critical, and she makes me be at my best because she's usually never pleased."
You are a product of her, so I mean, there had to be something nice come out of her.
Yeah.
Add some more, if I may.
Oh, sure. Mom, we're going to have to end soon, though, because...
Yes, I'm going to go fast, okay?
It really just
made me a better person listening to Richard's life
story.
Why,
Mom? What is it what he said that inspires you?
But he actually made me, like, wanting him to have... as my role model in my life.
For
he is so inspiring and spiritually close to God. Coming from all the words that he chose in this interview. I really believe he really knows what true love is. Which is
always the good for the person.
It's always
now I know why you're so affected.
Person.
Okay. Yeah, because my mom really kind of
pulled
the love.
And I just love him so much.
Thank you so much. I love you too. I mean,
he says that he doesn't say it unless he means it.
Yeah.
Remember, I believe that.
It's a different kind of love here.
and that's exactly what I mean too. I don't say things unless I mean
them. That's true.
I think knowing my mom is that I think because she knows of, you know, your status and being renowned, but yet being very humble. And I know that's something that is even inspiring to me. And now that when you said the love thing, that's true because she holds love very sacred too and takes things seriously when love is being said. It's not just frivolous, it's
giving love unconditionally to make everyone happy.
Exactly.
I am really grateful for having crossed his path.
Okay.
Thank you
so much. Well, that's so sweet of you, Mom.
It is very nice. When are we going to see you again?
I don't know when I can go back there to San Francisco. I wish you would let me know if you're coming here in San Diego.
Well, we'll definitely let you know, but if you ever come up this way, we'll definitely make it a point to all get together again, okay?
Yeah, I would love that.
Well, we've had Mom, Richard had, we had brunch or lunch at Fort McKinley, and he ate his whole plate right away. Fort McKinley... Barry is my cousin and my mom's godson, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, Mom, we're going to have to say goodbye. Anything else that, Richard, you want to say, or Mom?
Well, thank you, Mama, for all the wonderful words. And, you know, I feel very humbled to, you know, everything you said. And it has touched me and blessed me in some way. So, but anyway, we will see you soon, hopefully, and we all get together again, and we'll share some good times again, okay?
I see God really in your heart, and God bless you, Richard.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay. All right, Mom, thank you. I hope you all have nice things to say to me later tonight.
Good night, Mama.
Okay, Ma, you're going to go back on cue, so you don't have to hang up. All right,
okay.
Thanks, Mom. Bye-bye. Okay, Richard, I think you have totally made her year. And, you know, when she talks about God, she's really much more spiritual in that. I think this is kind of what I see from you, and not so much that you talk or preach religion,
right,
but that you kind of represent a very strong, you know, a spiritual type feel. You know what I mean? Like your spirit is very evolved, and I think that comes from, especially with someone who has received a lot of fame and not get caught up with the ego and
I think that's very true. Everything you said.
The seduction of
I don't
that.
Have to yell it out or anything. I mean, it's just
right.
If it's there, I don't, you know, perceive it any other way. You know, I am who I am, and, you know, that's, but I'm not going to be anybody that I'm not, try to perceive it, somebody that I'm not going to be or want to be, you know, so. That way I don't have to put on a fake face all the time, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, you don't have to hustle, you don't have to pretend, you're just authentic, and that's huge.
Yeah.
So, Richard, I'm going to just ask you to just send out whatever message you want to convey to, I'm going to ask you to do it for your band. and please name feel free to name your band members.
Thank you.
And then also a message to just your general, you know, family, friends, just to the public, right? And whoever else you want to personalize it to.
Well, first of all, I just want to introduce my band to, you know, everybody that's listening. They're great, talented musicians. Not only that, but they're also, you know, great persons inside and out. And like I said, we're all brotherhoods here. And my drummer is Edwin Santos, who I've had the pleasure of being involved with him a couple of times. He was actually instrumental in being one of my first drummers back when I started Sapo, and then he left for a little while, and then we were reunited again, and so I'm glad to have him back. He's been a great asset to the band. So Edwin Santos is my drummer. I have Art Ariola, who plays trombone. He's also a very talented trombone player.
Yeah.
I have Manny Angel, who is an excellent trumpet player, who also plays in another band right now as well, but his loyalty to me is also as one. And Dan Owens, another trumpet player, my first lead trumpet player, who hits those real high notes. He's an awesome player, you know. And then I have Mario Vega, who's was with me. As a matter of fact, he was the one who introduced me to Edwin Santos back when, and brought him into the band. So sometimes it takes somebody to know somebody to bring somebody in. So Mario Vega is my saxophone player. So he's one of my alumni guys that's been there for a while. Playing congas is Tam Sugayan, who's just an excellent conga player. As a matter of fact, he played with when Raul Rico played with us on a few gigs, because Raul Rico used to be my conga player before he joined Santana. He had nothing but great compliments about Tam, saying Tam is just an excellent player. And I told him, well, you know what? He takes after you, because you guys are just like neck to neck, you know what I'm saying? So, Tam is just a great conga player. I have Tony Flores playing timbales, who's playing with Bobby Womack, Marvin Gaye. He's been playing with a lot of bands. He's been I've known Tony for over 30 years easily. We were together in one of our first bands when we were trying to put something together back when. But excellent timbala player. I also have his brother Mio, who also plays percussion and timbales as well, and also bongos. Mio Flores, who also had a band, his own band called Lava, and now he's at, I think he has another band that he's putting together right now. It's called Flow.
Yeah, it's Flow, right? Flow, Funky Latin Orchestra.
Funky Latin Orchestra, yeah. So, but he's also with the Sapo as well. I'm using Ace Ofrey is my keyboard player, excellent keyboard player. Ace has been with me for a few years, and he brings a different style of keyboard to the band. Excellent keyboard player. I'm using, I have Oscar Tablada, who's playing bass. Excellent bass player. I was introduced to him by my late friend Manny Valdez, who passed away a couple of years ago, and I'm so lucky to have Oscar. He's a great bass player. And then last but not least, my guitar player, who's just like off the wall, but the greatest guitar player I've had the pleasure of working with, Bobby Simcox. Yeah, not only is he excellent, but he's like my brother. He's so talented, and he's so down-to-earth and very humble. I think he's just like a very awesome player and a person inside and out. So I think my band is, like I said, is one of the greatest bands I've probably had in all the years that I've had bands. And I can't begin to tell you how many players I've gone through. I made a list of all the musicians that I've had in the past. I put down all the horn players, all the percussion players, and I think a number is close to almost 100 different people, so which is quite a bit. So, but I cannot say enough about my band. I love my band. I love my guys, and it's just a great pleasure to have them to be a part of Sapo, you know. And my family, I love my family. A lot of them will be there that night. My cousins. I know we don't get a chance to see a lot of my cousins and stuff, but. Sometimes because we all have different lives, you know, we all doing something all the time, but it's nice when we can get together maybe to an event like this where we can all get together as a family. And so it's going to be nice. I'm going to see all my family. My cousins will be there, which I haven't seen for a while, so it's going to be great to see them. My sons will be there, who I love.
And that when you're saying there, you're talking about your big show on November 8th, right?
Right, exactly. They'll be there November the 8th for my birthday bash thing. So, and my fans, I can't say enough about my fans. I can't say enough about the love that, you know, I received from them and all the support and that I've had from them over the years. And, you know, I want to continue performing and continue giving them the kind of shows that they expect and, you know, the kind of love that, you know, that I can give them as far as they give me. I give them back, you know. As far as that, they've been great to me, and their support is always great. So I love you too, all my fans. So, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and you definitely, Richard, have really brought a lot of happiness, and you have affected so many people with your music, and that's me included. And it really is an honor to have you on my show, but to just know you and to be able to call you my friend. And I do have a sincere love for you. So thank you. Thank you for being a part of this. And I learned so much more about you from the show.
And, of course, you know, we could have went on for hours. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, and, you know, that's why I have to... Because you said, Maggie, how long is the show? And I said, well, we can keep it to an hour, but there are times that the show has gone on to 3 hours. And it really can go on forever because there's so much. Like, I know when my mom said, I want the song. I want the show to go longer.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's so many...
Yeah, Yeah, we could do this again. You know, it's always a pleasure. You know, I mean, I love you. I love you as a person, as a human being. Uh-huh. It was when I first met you. You know, you just came across as so beautiful. You know, so anytime we can do something together, whatever. You know, I'm always there for you. So.
You really have been.
Yeah, so yeah, we can do this again, you know, and I just, you know, I want this to be a successful, you know, event for you, for Fort McKinley, you know, this Friday.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, people will come out and at least support, you know, for the Band-Aid Filipino the relief thing, and also they can come to my, birthday bash, whether I have a great time with great music and just a wonderful atmosphere at the Fort McKinley, which is a beautiful place to begin with. I mean, cannot say enough about that place. I'm so glad to.
Yeah, it's so elegant.
So glad to.
And it's so fitting for you.
It's elegant, exactly. And thanks to you, for extending that invitation, for the Fort McKinley It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be beautiful. And, you know, I want everybody to come out and support both things, you know. So definitely we'll have a wonderful time. I'd love to meet everybody, greet everybody.
And this is what's going to be exciting about your show on November 8th, is that this is the time that you want to be able to just even go out and get in with the people that are there, mix and mingle and meet and greet. And so people will actually have an opportunity to do that and really celebrate with you on your birthday. Right?
Yeah, that's what it's all about. So come on out and have some cake, you know.
Yeah, and so it is, if you want more information, I have a link on it here on the web page on my radio show. There's also an invite on Facebook, or you can email me or my staff at info@maggiedevere.com, and we can send you more information, or you can look on the Fort McKinley site. So there's a lot of ways to find out about it, and it's going to be a great night, and the cover charge is only going to be $10, which is huge, well, I won't say huge, but it's great because this is your whole night. You're going to be playing the whole, there's no other band. It's just you and Sapo, right?
Yeah, exactly, there'll be a DJ in between to mix up some other kind of music, and so it's going to be a night of music and mingling and entertainment and fun and just, you know, let's just, it's going to be a party, so it's going to be great.
Yeah, looking and then people can meet your Sapo musicians as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, Richard, thank you. We're going to spend the rest of this show listening to his songs in this order, Ritmo del Corazon, Can't Make It, and Sapo's Montuno. And thank you, Richard, for providing that music for everyone to listen to. I've gotten some texts and messages already about how much they're loving you and the show, and I'll share it with you afterwards. So thank you again, and feel free.
Well, thank you so much for making me a part of your show. You know, this is wonderful.
Oh, no, I'm glad.
I mean, I've had a wonderful time talking about, you know, everything you've asked me. I think it was a great interview. I thought it was like how I was talking to you on the phone. It was a really,
right.
I wasn't even thinking it was an interview.
I know, and that's what I like, because we have fun.
You know, because some interviews, it feels like an interview, and I know it's an interview, but like this, I'm just like rambling, like we're talking, like, you know, like we got all night, but we don't. So anyway, thank you so much, Maggie. Thank you. I love you. Thank you for making me a part of your show.
I love you too.
I want to tell everybody, have a wonderful night. God bless you. You know, peace on earth. And, you know, I hope to see everybody at my event. And we'll take it from there. So thank you, Maggie, so much for everything.
All right. Thank you, Richard. Good night.
I appreciate it. Have a good night.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And that was our wonderful Mr. Suavecito, Richard Bean. And stay tuned as we listen to his other songs that we can enjoy for the rest of the evening. Relax, have a wonderful night and the rest of your week, sending out much loving energy, and enjoy your life, and hope to connect very, very soon. Feel free to send me any messages at info@maggiedevera.com or visit my website at maggiedevera.com. If you have any questions about the show, Richard Bean, or any requests for topics, just let me know. And have a wonderful night. Bye-bye. Stay tuned. Ritmo del Corazón.
Have you always wanted to make a difference but weren't quite sure how to do it? Royal, or Realizing Our Youth as Leaders, Inc., is a nonprofit agency dedicated to preparing youth for life and leadership. Royal was created in response to a great need for providing effective services for the most disadvantaged and high-risk youth who are consistently falling through the cracks. Royal has been successful in reaching the most challenging kids in the community with their innovative, creative, and therapeutic approaches, serving youth who have experienced significant abuse, neglect, abandonment, and living life through harsh conditions. Royal needs your help. To help sponsor a child and support the hard work and mission of Royal, visit their website at www.royalinc.org. That's R-O-Y-A-L-I-N-C.org. Or call 415-643-7117. That's 415-643-7117. Royal,